Real Business Owners.
Welcome back to Real Business Owners Podcast. This is Trevor Cowley here, as always, with my partner, Kel Goodman. Today, we've got an awesome guest for you. It's Glenn Lovelace. Guys, this individual won the 2017 Bodybuilding.com Transformation Challenge. He tells us a little bit about some of the struggles that he went through to go through that process to be able to pop out the other side and get first place there. He's transformed his life and now does some fitness coaching / life coaching, and we're going to do a deep dive into that today. This episode is brought to you by Easier Accounting, where accounting gets easier. Guys, we're a nationwide accounting firm. If you need anything from tax prep, bookkeeping, payroll, make sure that you remember who we are. And even if you have a simple question, make sure you reach out to us. Send us a direct message or just hit us up at easieraccounting.com and we'll go ahead and get that taken care of for you. Guys, enjoy today's show.
How close do you want me to mic? Is it just
it's just pretty chill? Yeah. I mean, it is pretty chill. It'll pick it up good.
Who's your like audience? Like, what are your...
Business owners.
Is there an age group? Is it men? Is it dads?
Dude, like, I would say our audience is like 65 to 70% men, 30 to 35% women.
Okay.
22 to 44 is the age. A lot of them are either existing business owners or individuals that are trying to...
do something.
Yeah, like they have that thought in the back of their mind that they would like to maybe do something for themselves one day. Because I get all the direct messages. Oh, man, I like the, you know, your guys' page. And, you know, it really fires me up. It makes me want to do that thing or whatever it is, right? So, you know, half of them are kind of entrepreneurs right now, just trying to figure out what they really want to do, which is cool. I mean, everybody goes through that phase of trying to figure it all out. But, dude, it's as you know, it's a pretty good group, a pretty good page. The engagement's super high.
That's easy to talk to because I'm somewhere in that line myself.
Yeah.
And have been there, and I'm 37, so yeah. I still fit
the dude, everybody's trying to figure, like, I watched a video the other day that it was like somebody, I don't know who it was. I don't know if it was like Gary Vee or something, and he's like, all these parents are trying to tell their kids at 18 or 19 to figure their shit out, right? Figure their life out. When they don't even have it figured out yet at like 45 or 50, they're still trying, you know, everybody's going to have those thoughts of shit. What am I going to do over the next 5 or 10 years, you know?
Those parents just don't want to keep paying for them. They're like, figure shit out. I don't want to pay for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Hurry it up. Like, get out of the house.
Make me some money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. One less burden. Not, you know, now I can start saving for retirement.
Play pro ball so yeah, I can like exactly. Write your code.
Figure it out. Like, go pursue something where you make a lot of money. Go be a doctor.
In Iowa. Know? Move.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us a little bit about your upbringing just to kind of
as a
starting point, just so that everybody can get to know you just a little bit better in terms of, you know, where you grew up, how you grew up, stuff like that.
Sure. So Glenn Lovelace, born in Long Beach, California, actually.
Okay.
Both my parents are from there. You know, we only lived there till I was about 5.
Okay.
So I kind of have my, what I would coin a Southern California vibe, raised in Utah. So
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice spirit.
They have hat on backwards.
It's a nice spirit day today. Pink
and you're headed back to Cali right now.
Yeah, we're headed to the motherland. Yep.
Yeah. So that's cool.
I definitely got beard envy, man. Like,
yeah.
You have to give up on life to get to this.
Yeah.
Got to give up on life.
Get rid of all aspirations and just focus on growing the beard.
You do, because all the food ends up here.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
So, I'm the oldest of 6 kids.
Oh, wow.
And, you know.
So you were the guinea pig child.
I'm messed up.
Yeah.
I have all the baggage.
Exactly. The other 5 have it, you know, a little bit better.
You name it, I've probably been through that wall.
Yeah. Well, at least you didn't have hand-me-downs, you know?
I was
a middle child, so I got all the hand-me-downs.
I had cousin hand-me-downs, so is that worse?
Gotcha.
Yeah. And my aunt, bless her heart, I love her, but she made the clothes, so it was like...
She wasn't a fashion designer.
No, you know? She was, but I'm not into fashion. Gotcha. I'm like black. Oh, I'm actually wearing red today. Yeah. That's good for me. Yeah. But so, Orem, Utah is where I grew up. It was kind of the live outside. Bicycles,
yeah, of course.
Street hockey,
yeah.
Roller skating, skateboarding,
whatever the whole neighborhood was doing, everybody's doing it.
Yep. Yeah. Light the field on fire.
Yep. Fireworks, throw a flower in the air and watch it zoom that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a friend, Josh Larkin, I shouldn't say his name. But
We can edit.
He taught me all the bad stuff. Yeah. And I mean,
hopefully he doesn't follow us.
We'll get him there. Yeah. We'll get him there. He put nails in his BB gun when we'd shoot kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
His brothers would give him nunchucks and have him beat up the Brady kid down the street. And I was just like, oh my gosh.
You were the witness.
I was.
So you weren't participating, but you saw all this stuff.
Well, when you're there, you're participating, even if you're not.
Just visually watching it, you're still kind of guilty.
When I was 8th grade, we moved to Mapleton, Utah. Kind of a off-the-grid, I'd call it a farming community. It's not now. You kind of got to have your nose up in the air to live there now.
I love Mapleton.
I just bought a lot there.
It is.
So
it's really nice.
I've never heard of it.
My nose has gone up a little bit.
Yeah.
But my parents bought 5 acres there. It was kind of a, hey, city slickers, let's learn how to work. We had 2 cows, 2 horses, 2 pigs, chickens.
So it was a family affair. Everyone had to pitch in to kind of keep everything running?
Since I was the oldest, it felt like a lot of it fell on me.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad wasn't military, but it felt like it. Like, I got caught throwing snowballs at a... My dad's going to love this.
Yeah.
he laughs at these stories now. But I got caught throwing snowballs at cars, and I had to weed the field. Like, we're talking probably 2/3 of an acre.
Yeah.
I had to weed it. That was my punishment.
Yeah,
and my dad came up with the craziest punishments, but that's the...
Sounds like
that's
your punishments.
Childhood I grew up in.
It sounds like your punishments were his chores.
Probably. Instead,
you know, he's like, I don't want to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Let's mend the
Glenn's
fences.
Glenn's in trouble.
You're mending fences.
You're doing
figure
exactly.
it out.
Exactly.
No, for sure. And, you know, as a teenager, you don't want to weed the field.
Yeah.
You don't want to get up at 6 a.m. and break 6 inches of ice to water the horses.
Yeah.
I remember in 10th grade, I started wrestling because my mom wouldn't let me play football.
Yeah.
And I was 112 pounds, probably why.
Yeah.
And I'm out there shoveling manure at 4 a.m. so I can go to my wrestling tournament. And I'm freezing.
Yeah.
And I'm just grinding as a kid, getting my chores done so I can do these extracurriculars. And, you know, it's just part of the struggle that we have in life becomes who we are.
Yeah.
And so for the audience, for the listeners, like... The longer we can go through life and then look back at those struggles, we can then reprogram the story behind it.
Yeah.
And I call it connecting the dots backwards, right? Like whatever you're going through right now doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's a massive burden. We can get into all kinds of terms for it, but it doesn't really matter. Like it's going back, connecting the dots, and then reprogramming your thoughts about it. So your question was, who are you? Where are you from? And... You know, in high school, I started snowboarding as well. It was actually probably more like 8th grade. And, you know, my dad had a body shop growing up that was, you know, all he knew.
Yeah.
And he took probably 20 years to get through college. He graduated in his 40s.
Wow.
And it was just this massive elephant. He ate one bite at a time.
Yeah.
And it was a burden on the family because that was his time. He was an LDS bishop at age 28. Which, I mean,
that's a full-time job in of itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you have church duties like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And here he is, young family, moved from California, gave up a thriving business there. He's struggling too. And one of the taglines he always said was, Glenn, like, I've never been a dad before. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm doing my best. I'm giving you everything I got.
Yeah.
And so I get back to snowboarding, right? You know, that was a huge release for me. I went twice a week. For years.
Religiously, yeah.
Yep, and if I kept my grades up, my parents gave
me
the green light.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, sports and snowboarding don't mix, so I eventually, you know, quit. That became a story of my life, too, is quitting too soon. But I quit wrestling my senior year, and I wish I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
Because I put on 40, 45 pounds.
Yeah.
Junior to senior year, I was in the gym. I was
pushing
focused.
Yourself, yeah.
But I wanted to play.
Yeah.
I did serve an LDS mission in Philadelphia. That was gnarly.
Yeah, I bet.
I saw people get shot, ran over.
Wow.
I jumped down on the subway for people.
Wow.
I had a gun put to my head a few times.
Wow.
And I thrived there. Like, that was Glenn chill. Like,
you feel like you thrive in struggled situations?
Absolutely.
That's
if it's
where
high
you rise
stress,
up.
High stress,
yeah.
dangerous situations,
yeah.
I, you know, one of the guys I was with when we did get a gun pulled, he's like, dude, you were like cool as a cucumber. and he was literally, you know, trembling and shaking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that obviously shaped who I am. I got married pretty young. I have 5 kids myself. I've gone.
You done?
I'm done. She's
You're
not.
Done?
I'm done. She's not.
She's pulled what she can out of you.
There's one more, apparently.
Yeah.
There's always one more.
Yeah.
Right?
Involuntary.
That's how you break arms and elbows. One more.
He's having one more, too.
Yeah,
so,
that's what he says.
Yeah. So
he's got 5, too.
Yeah. I'm rocking the 5.
Yeah.
4 boys, a girl right in the middle.
You shouldn't need more than one hand to count your kids.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
No, you do lose track. You're like... Well,
who's in charge?
You're in charge of counting how many bodies are in
you
there.
You do the problem, sure, that one thing where you, when you get upset, you yell like 2 different kids' names before you. Get to their,
yeah.
Whatever your name is, knock that shit off. You
you're
know?
Done.
Yeah.
You are done. Yeah. All of you are done, actually.
You're all grounded. I don't care.
Yep. No more Xbox.
That's funny.
Another thing to add to the story, and I'll let you kind of navigate, but I've had almost 20 surgeries.
Well,
wow.
Mostly ears and nasals, thumb, separated both clavicles, 4 knee surgeries, hernias, carpal tunnel in both hands, sleep apnea. I've got issues. I have really, really bad feet.
Yeah.
And so all these things have shaped who I'm becoming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I say becoming because I'm not done.
Yeah.
Like
it's, you're ever evolving. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's where I'm really thriving is rather than avoiding those struggles, I'm like seeking them out.
Trying to find it, yeah.
I'm trying to find it. And yeah, I'm talking a big game right now, but that really is how I feel.
No, that's, dude, I agree wholeheartedly. Like, the older that you get and you can look back on some of those experiences that you've had in life, that at that point when you were there that you thought was pure struggle and you hated it, you realize that that's where all of the growth happened. And so as you get older and you can connect those dots and you realize that, okay, well, growth happens because of struggle, then you eventually start seeking out struggle so that you could force yourself to evolve. So it makes complete sense to me.
And to add to that, like, you've had substance abuse issues.
You
had an early kid.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that went on between then and now.
Yeah.
And I've lost a house.
Yeah.
I lost a job for a year. I had a gun to my head.
Yeah.
You know, those aren't everything. I've wanted a divorce.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've wanted all these things to happen or was a victim in certain things. And it's only through, for me, reprogramming why I went through that, pulling out the positive, focusing on gratitude.
Do you do any, like, speaking of like gratitude, you know, I mean, we did that one podcast about routines and stuff and talking about Kel reflecting in the morning of kind of, you know, visualizing what he wants. And, you know, just this morning I wrote down 5 things that I'm grateful for to prime my mind, right? So your mind will always look for what you're thinking about, right? So if you start your day with gratitude and writing things down that you're grateful for, and that's the first thing that you make your mind think of, it happens to find more things throughout the day that you can be grateful for because that's how you started your day, right?
Right.
If you start your day like, you know, looking on Instagram or Facebook and somebody's on vacation and you feel your first emotion when you wake up is envy or jealousy or this, then throughout the day, you can see yourself finding envy more often throughout the day or jealousy more often throughout the day. So the emotion that you start your day with can carry over for the rest of your day. And so that's why I believe writing those things down to start your day is a huge way to prime your mind to continue to find things that you're grateful for throughout the day. So with that said, do you have a specific routine that you kind of follow? Like, do you wake up at a certain time every single day? Do you work out at a certain time every day? You know, things like that. Do you have a routine?
No,
if so, what is it?
So part of having a routine is the structure. But then you feel married to the structure. It's almost like, man, my whole life is structured.
Yeah, you want to break free.
I just want to be a little reckless.
Yeah.
And so with the job I have now, I have full flexibility of schedule, which is amazing. As far as, you know, refining my routine to writing an actual list every day, I don't do it.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. I haven't felt
the need for it.
The desire to be that formal yet.
Gotcha.
Now, do I know the value of it? Yeah. So part of what I've done is when I'm in a pattern of a funk, low energy, low ambition,
yeah,
or I'm even feeling sorry for myself, there are a few things that I that are the game plan. One is be grateful.
Yeah.
And the three things that always make me laugh is diesel in my truck, food in my two fridges, not just one, and then air conditioning. It's like those are things that I didn't always have.
Yeah.
And now I can always laugh. No matter where I'm at, I can be like, man, my car just broke down. I'm inconvenienced. I'm still alive. I didn't. But did you die? Like, what
movie is that? That yeah.
But
did you die?
But did you die?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I try to find humor when things are down.
Yeah.
As far as when I'm in that funk, I'm usually self-centered. Like, I'm focused on me. And so I'll be grateful and I'll look out for ways to either serve my family or my current clients. And I try to go above and beyond and just throw myself into their situation. And that alleviates everything.
Yeah, when you're so focused on giving or somebody else's situation and trying to help them, it almost just forces you to elevate and bring up yourself as well, rather than just focusing on you and feeling sorry for yourself.
Absolutely.
You know,
well, it's almost like you've programmed your mind too to when like this shit happens, because it happens to everybody, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
And everybody has their instinct go to. As mm-hmm. far as how they're going to react to a situation, you've programmed your mind to be like instantly go to gratitude,
yeah,
instantly
or laugh, find humor in things. Yeah.
And what if you did sit in the crap for a while? What if you did allow yourself to feel sorry for yourself for a while? And then when you are ready, you have the plan. You know, feel the emotion. I think too much we want to escape how we're feeling. And that's why we do go to caffeine. That's why we do go to food and Amazon and shopping and YouTube and Netflix.
Drinking drugs,
pornography.
Numbing whatever
gambling,
it is rather than feeling what it
gaming.
Is.
Gaming.
Yeah.
And all of and all these things.
Right?
Yeah. And it's I want a quick change of state.
Yeah.
I want to not feel what I'm feeling right now. Yeah. And instead, like, I've slowed down and I've started getting curious. Well, why am I feeling this way right now? And I ask myself 5 or 6 questions. And then before I know it, I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm actually just hungry.
Yeah, I'm not angry.
No.
I'm hungry.
Or maybe I am angry. Or maybe I am angry or lonely or tired or stressed. It's the HALT method, right, for AA.
Yeah.
And then I start with myself and with clients as I start implementing a plan for when those emotions come up. And then you refine the plan as you go.
Yeah.
So if I'm angry, man, I'm going for a run. I'm going to the gym. I'm going to use that anger.
And then when you get down and you walk out of the gym or done with your run, it's like,
yes,
you're all that negative energy's it's out. It's
absolutely
gone.
If you're lonely and your wife's busy, you got kids, pick them up, squeeze them, give them your love.
Yeah,
you're tired, man. Maybe you should just endure the day and know that you're gonna go to bed a little early.
Yeah,
close the lights down, take a nap in your office.
So, dude, tell us a little bit about And you guys don't know this, and I'm going to talk, you probably have already heard it because you've heard the intro, and I'm going to talk about it in the intro. But Glenn did win the bodybuilding.com transformation challenge in, a couple years ago, year and a half ago, something like that,
April,
right?
April 2017, they showed up with a
$100,000
big,
check.
Fake check.
Hey, the pictures look nice.
Oh,
right?
It was
you
awesome.
Take pictures with a big check.
Heck yeah.
Take it down to the bank and see if you can deposit it.
Yeah, they didn't take it. It took a few weeks for the
real one to finally hit. But, obviously that's evolved into what you do now. But can you take us back to kind of the day? Because I specifically remember getting out of, I've always loved the gym and working out just like you, in high school and, pushing myself and stuff. But, after that, a period of time, I everyone kind of lets themselves go, maybe not everybody, but I bet a lot of people slowly lose that desire and let themselves go a little bit. And I went through a party phase, drug phase, all that stuff. And so, I got to the point where I was out of shape, I had a newborn and I was feeding my daughter at like 4 a.m, bent over, looking down at my stomach because my shirt was off. And that was the moment that I kind of said, shit, dude, like, I got to do something about this. Like, is this really where I'm at right now? And from that moment on, we lived in a little townhouse, little garbage townhouse, with one car garage. We never parked in it because the one car was so, the garage was so small, you could barely even fit a car in it. So I turned it into a little gym and started kind of, you know, making that change. What was the reason for a transformation for you? Was it just the fact that there was a challenge, or was this, these thoughts already coming to you and that just, you know, lit a fire under your ass, or what kind of take us through that?
Right.
I'm ready to change moment. You
right.
know?
I'm a long talker. So
okay, go for it.
I love painting the picture of why I think the way I do. As a young 5-year old, I'd stuff paper in my sleeves, and I called muscles knots, apparently.
Knots.
Check out my knots, Dad.
Yeah.
And my dad was a bodybuilder in the 70s.
Okay.
And so I looked at his pictures, and I'm just like,
whoa.
Daggum.
Yeah.
And,
I want to be like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And my dad, I'm 5'10", 200.
Right.
And my dad's 6'2", 220. And so growing up, he was always just massive to me. And so being small until I was even a senior year, I was always small. I started working out as a sophomore. My first bench max was 135 pounds, and I was stoked.
Yeah. Hey, once you get to the one plate.
One rep with a plate was amazing. Yeah. And so when you introduce being married and kids and a job and school, and for me it was 3 jobs, and then you introduce stress, you introduce relationships, like with your wife.
Yeah. Trying to navigate that, being a dad, navigate jobs, navigate fitness, navigate, you know, all this stuff.
And then you throw on all the real stuff, the trials that are coming.
Yeah.
And then you do turn to all those things we talked about as a change of state. You know, food is an easy one.
Oh, my God.
And I still, you know, daydream about food.
Yeah, I'll take a 4x4 right now.
Absolutely. You know? So, delivery.
But yeah, exactly.
And so some of the similar thoughts I had as you is, for me, I was on the toilet and my gut was between my legs.
Yeah.
And you get back from the lake and a month later you see pictures and you're like,
gosh, damn. Ooh. That's what I look
That's
like?
That's what I look like? Because in the mirror, it's like, it's not that bad.
Well, you always try to find. Bad. Remember I was telling Jeremy just the other day, I'm like, sometimes when you're getting out of shape, you like try to find the angle where you're like, okay, it's still kind of there.
Off.
You pull some fat down, you're like, there's an ab.
And then you crop it.
Yeah,
nipples up.
Exactly. And so it's like, you lie to yourself a little bit in terms of how bad it really is until you hit that like moment where you're just like, oh my God,
I can't believe this. I got to do something.
Yeah.
Out of breath, tying shoes, climbing a few stairs. And then you throw the kids on too.
Yeah.
Dad, later.
Yeah.
And my kids stopped asking.
Yeah.
And at first
they
I was like,
it was a no anyway. Yeah. After a period of time.
I trained them.
You programmed that.
I programmed them.
Yeah.
That dad was going to let them down.
Yeah.
And eventually that regret and remorse turned
Built
into
up.
My fuel. It was like, I can't be that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
And yeah, I am working 2-3 jobs. But the time's going to go by, and my dad, he was really good about taking the older generation's advice where maybe they work too much, and now their kids are gone, and they missed that phase of their kids. And so for me, I'm determined not to have that experience. So running up into that challenge is losing the house, and there's a story there. Losing a job, story there. You know, having a gun to my head on Christmas Eve, there's a story there. And being exhausted, I was at UPS early mornings, my full-time job. Then I finally got a break, and I was a firefighter for almost 4 years.
Cool.
But I was running all 3. And so when I add up hours, I'm 90 to 104 hours a week for almost 4 years.
Wow.
I was frazzled. Lots of caffeine, baby. But
I mean, to do that, I mean, you've got to
supplement.
Abuse, exactly. You are. I mean, but it is what it is. The body can only handle so much without any help.
Right. So I did the challenge in 2016.
How'd you find it?
I got an email.
Okay.
So I'm a huge Steve Cook fan, huge fanboy.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew Steve when he was a server at Texas Roadhouse when he was going to college here. So yeah, I know Steve. Pretty decent. So.
I mean, I know his neighbor. I know where he lives. I could totally try to sell them an alarm or something.
Knock on it. You need pest control, bro.
Like, is that a frontal or a reversal in the back?
Why are you taking him down to the gym, dude? Maybe he's there. He's there quite often.
Yeah, he was there the other night.
But. So in 2011, Steve blew up, right? Big man on campus.
Yeah.
Spokesmodel. And I'm like, man, this guy is rad. Quoting Dumb and Dumber. I can get behind this guy.
Yeah.
So I started tagging along with BBCom, made a few orders once in a while. I came across a guy named Drew Manning in 2013, Fit Fat Fit.
Oh, I remember that guy, yeah.
Saw an ad on Facebook, and I'm like, dude, that trainer is brilliant. And this was as he was putting on the weight. I'm like, that is freaking genius.
Yeah, that marketing ploy.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Amazing story. I actually had a chance to work with him a little bit on the business side, and it didn't work out, which is another, you know, quit too soon. But nonetheless, all these guys did big things, and I could point out a bunch of others that kind of put in my mind, like, man, you've got to do something big, and you've got to be all in, and you'll figure it out. But it was frustrating waiting for that window. So 2016, I do the challenge. I ended up hiring a guy.
What was your weight when you started the challenge?
In 2017, I remember all the stats just because it's something I've had to share. But I was 226. And about 20% body fat. My waist was 44 inches. And I've always kind of been the guy, if I had a shirt on, I held it okay.
Yeah, this barrel chest, bigger arms, and then it kind of covers the stomach area.
Yeah. And 2016, I 2 weeks into it, I had done all kinds of programs, diets, lots of roller coaster stuff.
Yeah, crash diets and this.
Cabbage
and that,
soup, banana diets.
Yeah.
The good stuff too. I did a paleo run for a while, but I never had the strength. I never liked the way I looked after, and so it'd be right back to what did work for me.
Yeah.
And then boom, I'm back to, whoa, that's what I look like.
Yeah.
Okay. So 2017, I do the challenge 2016, and I got pretty good results, and I thought I had maybe earned myself some attention, maybe not winning, and I didn't get any of it.
Hmm.
And which was fine. I had some thought processes to go through there, and I learned a ton. But I had a hernia issue. I had carpal tunnel in both hands. I'd be on the freeway on my motorcycle, and I couldn't feel a thing. And I'd grab my bars to make sure they were still there, and I was there.
Yeah.
But there was no connection. So October, I get my hernia fixed. November, I got both hands done at the same time, and I had an ear surgery. And then rolling into December, holiday weight. So by January 2017,
after surgeries, everybody's laid up for a minute, and what do?
They hang out, man.
Hang out and eat and chill. You know, like, you're just, you know, I've had, you know, when I hurt my knee last year, same thing. You know, you kind of get out of shape.
You let it go.
Yeah, yeah.
You could stay, but you let it go.
You know, it's, again, it's, we're just, you're injured, you're not able to do anything, so you cover it up with food, you know? So is that kind of what you did throughout those holidays?
For years, all the time. So 2017 rolls around, and I'm like, you know what? I've been working out since I was 15. I know what I like. I know what works for me. I've hired trainers, and I'm just going to do this my way this time.
You've done so many different things that you've kind of been able to, like, piece what you like and what you think that you could do for a long period of time.
Absolutely. And I think there's a little stop plug there for guys who are 19, 20, 25, is you could take that same model with your whole life. Like, you want to own a business, but you don't know what to do. You want to be an expert, but you haven't put in the time or the hours. So go out there and take on five different things. Be specific with them and be all in. Be a brown noser, whatever, but get as much as you can out of it. And then you'll know what you like and you don't like pretty quick. And so with the meal plans and diets and all that stuff, that's kind of where I was at with it. So I do the challenge. I mean, I'm using PTO. I quit fire, which honestly, quitting that job was a harder decision than it was to get married. I didn't want to get married. Like, that's how much I loved that job, but I gave it up because I'm like, this has to be the break. You know, I've been able to...
Would you say that you got obsessed for that period of time?
It was,
just like you woke up thinking about it, you went to bed thinking about it, every second was meticulous.
I was okay if my family left me.
Really?
That's how serious I was.
You were just all in on you.
And of course, I'm I'm not okay if my family leaves me.
That was just kind of the mentality that you had.
Exactly.
To, like,
it was all Glenn. Yeah. It was all Glenn.
Yeah. You had to be selfish during that time to get what you got.
Yeah, and I knew it was a small burst. Yeah. I knew that it wasn't forever going to be like this. Mm-hmm. But now I'm trying to do that with my business.
Yeah.
And I'm having a hard time because I've created such an awesome space.
Yeah.
For myself, my wife, my kids, and my current career, that I'm having a real big struggle with being all in on the business.
Yeah.
And so it's slow. So the challenge, I'm getting up at 2 a.m., going to UPS. I go to the gym in between jobs. And then 2-3 days a week at the beginning, I'm going at night. It's during the winter. And then as the last month rounded, I'm going every day, twice a day. We're talking like 3-4 hours a day. I'm eating perfect. I think I had 3 ribs that weren't on a plan. Like
over that long, over
12, 14 weeks. Like, wow.
How long the challenge is like a 12 or 14 week challenge.
It's a 12 week burst. And if you sign up early and submit your pictures, you can get 2 weeks on the front end, I knew it was coming. I knew the politics. I knew what they were looking for. And I played the game hard.
You went into it knowing like, I'm going to win this shit. Yeah.
I did. You know, I'm an emotional dude. Like, I'm okay with crying.
Yeah. No,
but cool. I would be on a treadmill imagining them coming in with my check, with my name on it, almost every time I was on that freaking treadmill. And that's how intense I was. And I told people from the get-go, like, I'm winning this. And, of course, they look at you like,
you're
setting yourself up for a huge
disappointment.
Letdown.
Disappointment, yeah.
And I had a few friends send me texts that were not very nice.
Mm.
And they've affected my relationships with them. Which is great. It's been a great experience to go through that.
You have to go through. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it doesn't in life in general, you will evolve out of friendships, period. Like, that's just the reality of it. Everybody's going to go down different paths within their life. And you could have a friend that you've had for 15 or 20 years. You're just slowly fading down different paths. And then by the time you realize it, you're way over here, they're way over there. And maybe your guys' goals, dreams, and your desires don't really match up. And you don't want to hang around people that don't really have matching goals, dreams, or desires, because it's not going to serve you and what you're trying to accomplish.
Absolutely.
Right?
And guess what? All that crap's okay.
Yeah. It's all okay.
It's all okay.
You'll be fine.
They'll be great too.
Yeah.
You know, you can still love them. You can still
show up at their funeral, pay respects.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
You know? You can still give them a thumbs up on IG.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you can tolerate following.
Yeah. Exactly.
So this is a really two quick stories on this challenge. It was late February, and I took my boys to this trailer lot after church, and we just sat there. And we have dirt bikes.
Seems like you guys have fun with those.
We do.
It's cool.
We build
the jumps and all that.
We build.
I love
jump.
That.
The neighbor's gonna run us out of the hood.
Out of business. Yeah.
But I go there and I'm like, okay, what trailer are we buying when we win? And they're like, no. I'm like serious. I'm like, we're buying this trailer, win or lose. Like, we're buying this thing. And so we picked out what would be my dream trailer. You know, I wanted to fake it till I make it. I wanted to play all these games that I'm learning and hearing and seeing other guys do. And I've done it in small ways with, I want to have that car or that dirt bike or that Harley. Even though it's used, that's still a success statement because I did that.
Yeah.
And so the trailer became that thing.
So you're a big believer in visualization.
I'm not very good at it, but I'm freaking good at it.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is I can do it on the little things. And this challenge, after they showed up and I finally made it home and I laid on my bed, the sun's coming through my window, and I was utterly exhausted. And I was like, man, my dream just became a reality. Like, that was a moment like I'll never forget.
Yeah, I guarantee it.
Because I did it. I finally did something.
You said what you were going to do, and it happened. And at that point,
empowerment.
Everybody's wrong. And you're right. In some cases, it's not even about the money anymore.
It's just about the accomplishment
of itself, and the acknowledgement in itself was enough. The money was the bonus, and you evolved into becoming.
I would have given the money back because of what the value. Not just, hey, there's 60,000 people doing this, and we want you to represent the winner. it was, man, I set out on a crash course to do this, and
you did it.
I did just enough to earn the luck, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
3 weeks before the challenge ended, though, I almost quit again.
Wow.
One of my favorite stories is 3 Feet from Gold in Think and Grow Rich. I think it's in that book. Does that story sound familiar?
I don't read much.
Okay.
Yeah. So I need to get better about it. That's one of my goals is to start digging in. And a lot of people say, I'm not a good reader. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, that's bullshit. Like,
right.
If you keep telling yourself that, then yes. But everything in life, you have to practice to ultimately get better. So you might not start out being a good reader, but start reading and forcing yourself to do that. And so that's one of my goals. But 3 Feet from Gold.
So 3 Feet from Gold. And I'm going to butcher the story, but I'll tell it how I want.
Butcher it up. No?
So we're talking Gold Rush. Mid-1800s,
yeah.
This guy sells everything and gets out to California, buys some land, increases his knowledge, tries figuring things out. He finds some little honeypots here and there, and eventually he runs himself out of money.
Hmm.
Obviously, in California, there's fault lines, there's earthquakes, and the story goes that he, you know, had, again, I'm going to tell it my way, but I think at home he had borrowed money. Huh. To finance this from friends and family, and I'm doing this. I'm going to come back and make you all rich.
Yeah.
And he had that walk of shame back home where he didn't make it. Well, the guy who ended up buying it ended up hiring some experts at the time to give him advice. Turns out that thread of gold was 3 feet removed because of a fault. So I don't know my geographics?
I don't know.
It's rocks and dirt.
Geology.
Yeah. Geology. Thank you. Saves the day. Yeah,
Kel's saves the through. Day. G, all the G. Yeah. You should put the G in geology,
heck
bro.
Yeah, man. So anyway, this guy, you know, comes across one of the biggest, you know, rushes in that time. And this guy gave up. He was 3 feet from it. And so, ironically, I'm 3 weeks away from finishing and I'm done. I've beat myself up. I'm not going to make
You're
it.
You're exhausted.
I'm not going to look like the guys who win this thing.
Yeah.
And I called the girl who won it the previous year. Her name's Charmaine from New Jersey. I just said, Charmaine, I'm sorry, but I think I'm done. Like, I'm arguing with my wife all the time. I miss my kids. And I'm coming up with all the reasons to validate why I should
throw in the towel.
Yeah. And they're all great reasons.
Yeah, most excuses are valid excuses. But it still ends with excuse. Everybody can find a valid excuse of why they shouldn't get up in the morning or, you know, do this or do that. I mean, there's so, but again, an excuse is an excuse is an excuse.
It is. And it gets exhausting when you give in all the time.
Yeah.
And she's like, Glenn, you know what? I think you're making a huge mistake. Just so you know, I was in the same boat. And I think you really need to, even though every week you've improved and you've done more every week with what you had, like, it's time to really double down and just finish something, like, finish strong and know that no matter what the outcome is, you gave it your all. And that became
still in
my
a sense of accomplishment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just
absolutely.
Finishing something. Yeah.
So I had to detach from what my result or hopeful
end goal was, which was win, win, win. And you had to change that mindset to finish, finish, finish. For me, because of all the other things that I've done that I haven't finished.
Absolutely.
And I need that sense of accomplishment, seeing something through from the beginning to the end.
Perfectly said. And so when you finish something, and that's a big message I take to clients is, look, this is where we're headed. And no matter what you do, you don't quit.
Yeah.
You can suck it up along the way.
You'll want to. Over and over and over.
Absolutely.
The mind will start playing the tricks on you, telling you, hey, you've done a good job.
Yeah, you're better than you were.
You can have this cheat meal. You've done a good job. You can take the day off, right?
Right. And so that became a part of the experience where it's like, man, I was so close. And it became, what if I do quit? And I mean, imagine my life quitting then. And I can't even think of what my life would look like had I not finished. Win or lose, just the lessons I learned in finishing, keeping my personal commitments has completely changed my life. And now, rather than the meal plan with people, I say it's commitments. These are our absolutes. That's why 75 Hard, if you're familiar with that, Andy Frisella's little challenge.
It's not little. You say little challenge.
Dude, it is one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Guaranteed.
And it's simple. Read 10 pages, man. I was up at 1:30 a.m. reading my 10 pages, and that's why I... That's,
yeah. Where are you at right now? Aren't you doing it right now? Or
I'm day 49 Sunday. Now, I was day 34, and I fell asleep. I didn't get my pages in, and rather than, man, I'm going to double or triple that. Punishment,
yeah.
I'm like, man, this needs to be an integrity thing for me.
Yeah.
I'm starting over. I had two brownies and I started over.
But you two brownies?
It might have been four.
Yeah. Now you're downplaying it. But yeah,
dude, it was edges. I couldn't resist.
But that's the reality is like even in a workout or in life or in business, you know whether or not you're giving it your all. You know whether or not, you know,
You cheated.
Yeah. You can say whatever you want to everybody else, and they might think that you're really cool or whatever, but you still have to go home with yourself at night and sleep, you know, with yourself, right? And if you know for a fact that you didn't complete something the way that it should have been done, it will eat you up.
Yeah.
And moving forward in life in general, that will not serve you. It's better just to be self-aware and honest and say, man, I screwed up.
Yeah,
it's time. You know, I
could hack it.
Yeah,
you know, if you justified,
yeah,
and slapped a Band-Aid on it, like 120 pages.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, you could have done that.
I'm sure there's guys in the challenge
and talked about it. And you know, I've seen a couple people say that they finished, and Andy's been pretty frustrated with some of the people that say that they've done this or that, and he's like, I can tell you haven't,
right?
Like, because I already know what you would look like,
right?
You know, after the fact. So.
Well, and part of the program for those who have it, you should look up his podcast.
Yeah.
Is 45 minutes workout outside and then a 45-minute session doing whatever what else you want to do. But it's like easy to justify, man, I'm mowing the lawn. That could be my outdoor one.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's not. Like
the only person
that is not a freaking workout.
No, but the only
even if you push the mower, it's not a workout.
The only person you're doing a disservice to by justifying those things is yourself.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real for a minute. Like, that's what it is. Like, you're only shortchanging you because you are the only person going through it, not everybody else that you're trying to say that you did that for. Are you doing it for everybody else, or are you really doing it for you? And that's the real question that you need to ask yourself, because if you're doing it for everybody else, you won't be able to survive. It won't. It's too difficult. Business, life, whatever it is, right? And so you have to be honest with yourself, have integrity, and do the things that you do and do it for you and make sure that you see it through. And Glenn's doing a good job of just being honest with himself and saying, hey, it's time to start over. And so
I'm on my fourth try.
That's how difficult it is.
Yeah.
This is more difficult than the bodybuilding.com
challenge. I'm good at doing these things.
Yeah.
But doing them 100 every day, that's where the magic hits.
Consistency.
It's 100 or nothing.
That's what the challenge is really for. Is the really the mental side of it. It's more the mental side of it.
You'll see a lot of physical benefits, but by the time you pop out of that type of a challenge, mentally you're going to have far more gains than you will physically.
And I can't wait because it's exactly what I need. Mm. I'm doing okay in my other areas.
Yeah.
My business, man, I got to pick it up.
Yeah.
And I know that this is the link.
Creating that level of discipline and getting to that other side.
I'm not coming home till I do these two things that are so simple, and I'm avoiding them all day.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a game
changer. It's all stuff that everybody could do, but not everybody will do.
It's ridiculous how simple it is.
Yeah, it's like it's you look at it on paper and you're like, oh, that's not too
bad.
That's
stupid.
But doing something consistently over a long period of time, that's the difficult part. It's not difficult to work out one day here or there or eat good for 2 or 3 days and then go get that 4x4 we were talking about. sorry for bringing that up, dude.
It doesn't even faze me. I haven't had fast food in a long time.
In a minute. Yeah,
no, I mean, Cafe Rio, is that fast food? Kind of. Borderline.
It's in between,
but Wendy's, McDonald's, I can't handle it anymore. Yeah. It's kind of sad.
Yeah,
yeah.
Get you feeling sick.
That's a good thing though, man. Yeah. I mean, I've been there and I've been on both sides of that, and it's,
yeah,
it makes a difference,
dude. Honestly, I've been thinking about doing the 75 hard for a minute, but I've just been like,
so what's holding you back?
So I've had like, so I'm down like 65 pounds from where I was, and I've just been kind of happy where I'm at. Like, I don't want to go do all that right now, but
content.
I am to the point where just for the mental side of it, and.
Yeah.
But you're right, dude. You got to get into the point. You got to get to the mental side, a point where you want to really go in and do it for you, not just go do a challenge because everyone's doing it and say you did it.
Yeah.
You know. And so, but dude, I think I need to do it.
Yeah, Kel was, dude. In was it October or September last year? You were, what was your weight?
Yeah. 230,
and he's what, 170?
Yeah. 168 right now. I've done it before. I've done it a couple times.
When dropped back down, and then, dude, it's the yo-yo of starting back over, you know? So
here's a tip to that is the roller coaster has been highs and lows, right?
Yeah. Of course.
For me, when I came off that challenge, I had pressure to stay, which isn't necessarily possible. You know, I wasn't stage worthy, but to run around stage worthy all the time is not healthy either.
It's not. Right?
And it's not reality either when you've got all these other hats
and
you got
kids and job and business, you know. Yeah.
Are those excuses? Maybe. But the reality is I don't want to live that structured.
Like that.
So what I did is I put a cap on what my weight was going to peak to. So if you're at 168, I'd say, man, if your scale gets to 178, that's when you fire up.
I do that.
You don't go to 230 ever again.
I do the same thing. Literally, I have a benchmark that says, if I get to X, I got to get my shit into gear.
Right.
Right.
So, same with your bank account or your business account.
It should be anything.
You see that?
Such a good point.
Is on.
Yeah. You should.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if I'm under 10 grand or 20 grand or 50 grand, whatever your number is in your bank account, at that point, you should turn it up, even if it means getting a second job for 6 months to get it back up over that threshold or whatever it is. But you're absolutely right.
And a thought on that is Ed Milet. I know you guys love Ed.
Oh,
he honestly has saved my life. Some of the stuff that he has said, I've been following him since 2004.
Yeah, wow.
Before all the social stuff.
Yeah.
And he talks about that thermostat where it's like, man, don't let it cool back down.
Yeah.
And it's hard to figure that out.
It really is.
With the weight, it's great. It's like, oh, there's a scale. It's a real number.
Yeah. I'm 10 pounds overweight. Boom. Okay. You know, it's easy. It's very easy to measure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things in life that's not so easy to just, oh, well, I've got to now do something. Yeah. You know, so so many distractions on a day-to-day basis with social media and all that stuff that it distracts you from some of the things that you really should be focused on, like your bank account, like your fitness, like your relationships with your spouse or your friends or
children,
things like that, you know. So,
I respect
the hell out of you for that 75 hard stuff. So,
oh, yeah, man. I'm more motivated to do it now.
It's hard. Hard's fun.
Yeah.
We're going to do a 10-day challenge for the Real Business Owners Group.
Yeah. What are you thinking? What do you want to
A reset, you know?
I mean, I'm not going to do 75 hard because even elite people with elite, like that's a difficult thing to do what he has set up. I just want people to see what it feels like to get some little wins
and
get that sense of accomplishment and pride of finishing something like you talked about, right? And so the other day I was saying, just do something, like just set a goal and do it. And then I started thinking, I'm like, I should just do like a little 10-day, like, hey, do this, all easy stuff. If you can't do something for 10 days in a row, you ain't ever going to do shit with your life because 10 days is not, it's a week and a half, right?
And one weekend. You have to survive one weekend.
Exactly. You know, if you can get past that one weekend and not get that cheat meal in or whatever. So I have a couple things written down, but it was one of the things is, you know, writing 5 things down in the morning that you're grateful for and priming your mind with gratitude. That was one of the first steps. The second step was to exercise for at least 45 minutes. And I don't even care if it's a walk down the street and back. As long as it's 45 minutes.
You could do yoga in your front yard.
Do yoga.
You could stretch.
Downward dog that. Yeah, I don't care what you do, you know? So the next podcast that we do is actually going to be about the 10-day challenge, and it's going to be on our 10th episode. And
magic.
So, and then I'm going to basically break down some of the things that I just barely did, why I believe these 5 items should be done on a day-to-day basis for at least 10 days. And then you can just kind of vibe how you feel. And if you like it, continue to do whatever it is that you like to do.
I think that's the toughest part is a lot of people do these challenges, even like a cleanse. Like I remember, because I'm like you, dude, I've done all the freaking diets trying to figure out what works for me. Every time I like did a stupid ass cleanse.
Yeah.
It was like I just fucking gorged after the cleanse. You know,
it
like
didn't really
the toughest
serve
part
purpose.
Is like, dude, you did this reset, you did this cleanse, you did this challenge, and then you just freaking gorge afterwards. Like the toughest part is to like now stay with a healthy routine after that.
Yeah.
10 days is just a little reset. Like I want to challenge people, like, dude, this is a reset, but now now use find the your momentum routine. To go into yeah. something good and healthy and maintain yeah. those better habits that you've just created. Don't so start going backwards and gorging.
A lot of people try to reward themselves, right?
That you're not a dog, bro. Yeah,
exactly.
You don't need
exactly.
a treat for yeah. going to work.
Yeah. yeah. So they're rewarding themselves after they've accomplished something, and you're actually
and it's actually sabotaging not, the yeah, exact goal they had.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
How is that? How is taking three steps backward a reward?
So you know a little plug here, with my background, yeah. I just came up with this. It's a program called the Simple Seven.
Okay.
The idea is everybody has a few things on their list they know they could do that would get them results, and they're just not doing it.
Yeah.
And it kind of falls in line with Andy Frisella's episode 107, Win the Day, where you pick five things you're not doing, and you do them until they become easy, and then you start your new list, them. Win the day. Yeah. You either win or you lose.
The power list.
Exactly, yeah. power list. So Simple Seven is centered around all the hats you wear, whether it's with yourself, your spouse, your kids, your fitness,
business, whatever.
Business, yeah. faith, whatever.
Yeah.
And you make that list, and then you marry that list for 10 days.
Yeah.
Maybe it's reading to your kids at night,
yeah.
one book. It's going to turn into four,
yeah.
and you're going to get the result you want with your kids, which is more time and giving them
the attention whatever. That they want, right?
Yeah, so that might be an angle you pursue where it's like, you know what? I don't care what you guys do. Pick the five, pick the seven, pick the mm-hmm. three things. And let's just see what happens in 10 days. But this is a 100% deal. And we'll take the next step when we cross the line.
Yeah.
But make it things that they know they're not doing. And I think, I don't know, maybe that's things too much doing. Flexibility. No, a lot dude, of people like are like, that. Man, Glenn, just tell me what to do.
Yeah, and I'll do the exact thing.
And yeah. so maybe you start there and then you add on.
And then say, that's what I was going to do is I was going to do very concrete things for just 10 days, you know. And then after that
might be wise,
and
actually.
Say like, okay, now pick at least three of these five things and continue to do them, and then add the two that maybe you feel like
you should be doing,
whether it is reading to your kids or whatever yeah. at night, or right. you know, listening to at least, you know, maybe we should do that, listening to at least one podcast every day for 10 days because, you know, that's part of self-development.
Right.
Yeah, listen to ours.
Over
share and
them.
Over.
You got to share them 10 yeah. times
and
a day.
Then, and then you got to – the part of the challenge is sharing it with 10 friends.
Yep.
You know, and we just make it go viral
dude,
for us.
I love it.
Yeah, exactly. So, dude, tell us a little bit about you know, again, we'll plug you here real quick. So if any of you yeah. guys are out there struggling with your fitness or, you know, accountability, a lot of people want something – and they feel like that they can't hold themselves accountable. A lot of people, you know, that's why they get personal trainers or they get coaches or mentors or this or, you know, somebody to kind of check in with them a little bit. Some people don't need that. Some people do. But if you're feeling like that you need somebody to kind of vibe with and help you set goals, you know, fitness-wise, food-wise, you know, what else do you focus on? Is it just kind of fitness, food, or do you focus on priming the mind and self-development, or
so?
How far do you take it?
So the program has evolved as I have evolved.
Gotcha.
As I've noticed what I need and what other people need, and I think my program has moved in a direction where it's not so much what people are asking for; it's what yeah. they need.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard to get through the door, and so I kind of sneak in by saying, "Hey, you're fat. Let's do something about
yeah.
it."
Yeah.
Or you're not happy, you know, with your current health situation, and then boom, I start unlocking the patterns and the things that are holding them back. And it might be abuse as a kid.
So basically, I mean, yeah, you can eat healthy and lose weight, but it still doesn't solve the mind problem
that got you into that body. And that's
right?
why we're roller coastering.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, I deal with porn addiction.
Yeah.
I deal with substance abuse, divorce, suicide, and it's all the heavy stuff.
Yeah.
And not everybody's in that boat. Most guys don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But the feedback I get is, man, Glenn, I came to you for fitness advice.
Yeah.
And within an hour, you cracked me open like nobody else ever has.
Mm.
And I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I have someone I can actually talk to. And yeah, our circumstances might not be the same, but I can, you know, I think they feel comfortable because I say, look, this is where I've been, and yeah. I will give them every piece of the dark side of Glenn.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a safe place where it's like, okay, I can give him mine because his yeah. was worse.
Yeah.
So if you can't control what you eat and do, how are you going to change and impact other areas of your life? I have 100% control on what goes in my mouth.
Yeah.
And if I can't control that, how can I control anything else?
Yeah.
So, you know, I've invested a lot of money into myself in coaching. And I've asked a lot of dumb questions to people that I thought were experts. And because they were better at me than I was at the time, they were experts. I think a big part of transforming any area of your life is finding someone who you do look up to in that area and just ask questions.
Yeah.
I'm blown away at how unavailable we are or unwilling to ask those questions to people. And that's the magic. It's like, man, give me two nuggets here. And that's what's awesome about podcasts.
Yeah.
The issue is, though, is you overconsume, you get stalled out by overwhelm, and then it becomes, what's the easier, faster path to get the result I want? Yeah, where's the magic?
Everyone wants the secret or the shortcut.
Yeah, and that's where these 100-day challenges come into play. Is it's like, one challenge I set up for myself is I'm going to run 2.5 miles for 100 days straight.
Hmm.
And the problem is I have plantar fasciitis in both feet. I've had 4 knee surgeries. I don't do well running.
Yeah, that's not your thing.
It's not my thing. And I did it because I thought, man, what's the worst thing I could possibly do on this planet? And it's running. And if I can do that for 100 days, I can ask my clients to do stuff.
Yeah.
If I can sell my Harley to get advice from some guy, you can go donate plasma and get creative. Yeah. I'm donating plasma right now to pay for my lot in Mapleton. Yeah.
Because there's always a way.
You can get creative.
Yeah.
And so I challenge people in that way to be like, look, you want this? Let's get creative and create a path so that you can have it.
It's not going to jump in your lap and curl up. You have to create the path.
Absolutely.
It's not just open, sitting there, lovely. And the path is steep. It's rocky. It's rugged. It's hard, you know, but there is a path, provided that you want it bad enough.
Tony Robbins says progress is happiness. I've changed it to progress creates happiness because I want to be in control as much as I can. I want to create the life I'm living. And I do that with fitness. Am I in perfect shape right now? No.
Yeah.
Am I comfortable in front of a camera with my shirt off? I don't know. Really care. I mean, I have pink toenails right now. Like, I really don't care. Yeah. But it's those ups and downs and progressing, trying new things. I mean, I'm willing to try vegan. Like, because I want to know what my body does. Maybe not vegan. That might be too hard.
Yeah,
I better be careful what I say. But
yeah,
but you know, like, I'm willing to try new things.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious to see how my body will react, how my mind will react.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to be challenged.
You want to be like your own test dummy and then just kind of be self-aware and analyze how it's affecting you. And if you like it, you
right? Know? Absolutely. And I'm kind of scared. What if I do like it?
Yeah. Don't try it.
Exactly. Right. So,
just kidding.
So back to your question. Like, I was really searching for a message that would resonate with myself.
Yeah.
And there's a BBCom did a series called Spark. And I encourage everyone to check it out. It's normal dudes and gals who have overcome something and use fitness as the vehicle to empowerment. And in my Spark video at the very end, if you YouTube Glenn Lovelace Spark bodybuilding.com, it should come up. But in the end, I kind of say, you know what? You've got one life to live. You need to give yourself a window of time where you don't allow any excuses. And that became my message. One day, one life. I create my life one day at a time. I can't live by the regrets of my past. I can't be bound by fears of the future. I've got to focus on what I can actually do today. I got to win today. And I've only got one life. Like, I don't think I'm that, sketchy of a dude, but I like to go fast.
Yeah.
I like to jump, and I don't know when my ticket's punched, but it's kind of this weird balance or harmony is a word I like to use, where it's like, man, I'm living life and I have down days, probably 2 or 3 a week, where I'm like
unmotivated or this.
Yeah.
Or that. Everybody has it. Everybody.
And then
has
I lean
it.
On Let's the habits, real. Rituals, routines, because I've put them in place.
Yeah.
I know how to go to the bank and show up, and that feels better than sitting there tired.
And
am I perfect at it? No.
Yeah.
No, but I'm hyper aware of how I'm going to feel afterwards, and I'm willing to just keep showing up.
Yeah.
And therein kind of is the magic to all of it. So one day, one life is the message I share. It's what I preach to myself. It totally works. I don't necessarily fear death, but I don't want to die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I got a lot to prove still.
Yeah.
So for those out there that
are struggling, I would encourage you to find a mentor, find someone you do look up to, even if it is on Instagram, like find someone that truly resonates with you. If it's me, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like you, I've never turned away one message.
Yeah.
Not one.
Dude, my hand just, on that phone call yesterday, I kept going. Did you see me go like that with my hand?
Carpal tunnel.
Dude, my hand is starting to hurt. Like yeah. I can't, like I think I've hit the threshold where I can't keep up. It like literally from the time I wake up at 6 a.m, I'm trying to hurry and get the DMs out of the way and comment back. Like I want to show love back because people are supporting us. So it's like, dude, you support me. I want to support you back and show you that I see you and that I appreciate you.
That you're worthy to
yeah,
try.
Yeah. Right. Like they give me their attention. Like I think that I owe them that back, you know? And so it's just,
so how do you scale that though? Like
I don't know if I will be able to. And so me and Kel have talked about like, well, eventually we won't be able to keep up. And so we'll do like a private Facebook group of people that value our time and our opinion, could pay, you know, $100 or $200 a month to be in that private group where they right. can have access to us a little bit more one-on-one. The people that aren't willing to pay that obviously don't see the value in the information that we've taken a decade to get the value of the content
we're putting out there, yeah. but we're not going to be able to respond to everybody. So
guess what, though?
Kind of create a tighter-knit community, yeah. you know?
The minute you start charging, the minute it has value.
Right.
That's April 2017, I win the challenge. I help people for free the rest of that year.
Mm.
I put in hours and hours into people I didn't even know. Before I realize it, I'm spending time away from my family to respond to these messages, yeah. create plans, follow up with them. And, you know, in that struggle, I found the message that worked for me. And I'm assuming you guys already have too. But then 2018, I'm like, man, I gotta take this to the streets and start charging a little bit. And I started at $100
yeah.
for a 12-week program. And I had to chase guys down in the gym. I said, look, you haven't changed in 3 years.
Yeah.
We've
all seen the people at the gym that go daily, but there's not one change at all. They're not switching it up. They're just kind of going through the motions.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Kudos for
nothing.
Kudos for going, but do you want something for that effort? And I went to the guys like that and they're like, sure. And we got awesome results. And then from there, I started charging more and giving more and finding what they needed. And I'm still not very good at this game. But there is no plan B. I know it sounds silly. I've burned the boats, the bridges, the island. Like, it's gone. Like, whether this is a side hustle or a passion, like, I found it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found it, and I freaking love it.
That's awesome.
Well, it's because you believe in what it... fitness is the vehicle to finding yourself and finding discipline, finding confidence, finding... You know, that carries over in everything. You right. know, that's why fitness and business go so much hand in hand, because if you can do this on a day-to-day basis over here, then you might have the discipline to be successful in business. And right. if you've done what you've done so far in the fitness industry, now you're bringing the fitness and the business side and kind of merging those two.
And right now, I feel like the 600-pound guy in the gym with a business. I'm like, I know I should be doing all these things.
Yeah.
And I'm not giving myself enough credit because I am doing them, but I want results a lot faster.
Everybody sure. does, dude.
And that's where I'm selling my Harley. I sold my F1.
Yeah.
I'm doing all the things that I'm not wasn't willing to do before. Those things created my success and my personality. And I belong on a Harley yeah. or a bullet bike. I don't care. Yeah. Like if it goes fast or as loud, yeah. like I'm down. And so to reprogram and give those things up so that I can make progress is super empowering. Like there's nothing like spending $2,000 on a 2-hour phone call when you're ready to vomit and you're like, man, that's a trip to Disneyland almost. And I'm going to spend it on a 2-hour call.
Yeah.
And then when you step into that, you're like, man, I wish I had $100,000
yeah.
that I could blow on myself right now because I would do it. So whether it's your $100, $200 Facebook group, like that's the kind of stuff that moves the needle because now you've put value to that information and you're a lot more willing to do it. And
we'll still give a lot of information.
No, you have to. You have to nurture that relationship.
Dude, I get so many messages about the value that we've already been bringing through podcasts and through that.
That won't ever end. That's just who you guys are.
But at the end of the day, like I'm not going to be able to answer every direct message like I have been, like giving advice.
Don't you want results for them, though?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm going to say. I mean, once you start, like, I like how you worded that.
Yeah.
Once you start charging is when you create the value. It creates the value for them. The person charge paying.
$39, dude. Yeah. At least it's hitting something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When people spend money, they take it more serious, too. Let's be real. If everybody's doing free this, free that, they could quit 2 days in because it didn't cost them anything or whatever it is,
so,
right?
So is the worry that you're just another one of those programs and offers? Because I kind of feel that way. It's like, man, I'm another fitness guy shouting.
I wanted
people.
To make sure that people resonated with us and, right. and the message.
You've done a really good job.
And that's why I have taken free phone calls and answered every DM. I wanted to see my advice get translated into their life and their business and then follow back up with me with the result. And I'm seeing all positive results. So I'm like, obviously, dude, I just wanted to prove to myself that I could bring value to people's life,
right.
and I'm okay charging that. But I right. wanted to prove that to me first rather than trying to feel like I'm just charging to charge because I've been in business and because the success we had that I'm grandfathered into, you owe me money if you want my time. So I think that I've done a pretty good job of proving that up to this point. And, you know, I did set up the Facebook page just the other day and announced it, you know, and we'll slowly move towards that. And again, as I get carpal tunnel, I think it's coming closer and closer to that time where the DMs kind of just get shut off.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want access to us, they'll have to, you know, be inside of that private Facebook group. But dude, I want people to know where to find you, man. So it's, G Love. GEELOVE. What's I know there's a couple.
00.
00. So
here I graduated. So
yeah, there you go.
I'm tall too.
Yeah. So G Love. That's on Instagram.
I remember being
though.
Jealous yeah. in high school of the guys that got to graduate.
Double O.
And double O. Like, they got like named the Millennium yeah. class, all this stuff. Dude, and I was 1 year off. Man. I graduated 01.
So do you so this is Instagram for all you guys out there. It's again GEELOVE 00. So that's how you find Glenn there. Facebook.
Just Glenn Lovelace. I have the One Day One Life page there as well.
Okay. Website or anything like
GlennLovelace.
That.
GlennLovelace.com is the site. It was up and running and now I'm turning it into a membership site where it'll mm-hmm. have three tiers and it's kind of the journey process where it's simple seven.
Yeah.
Then it's more life coaching. I have a really hard time with that term. I'm yeah. coming to grips with it, but that's what I am. Like I have tools and resources that will help anybody on this planet. And that feels pretty gnarly to be able to say. Yeah. And then the third phase is kind of you set up your personal journey, fit to fat to fit, your 100K challenge, your 75 hard, but you set the rules and the terms and the dates and you apply all these strategies and tools. And so I GlennLovelace.com is a site. It's not up right now.
It's not where
so
you want it yet. Right.
But look forward in the next 2-3 weeks and it'll be.
I mean, this
Instagram is great,
though.
I
think this podcast will hit, next Wednesday? So, I mean, yeah. So by the time you guys listen to this, you know, follow up on that website within a week or two.
For all your listeners, though, too, like, I have a transformation guide. I charge $27. It's yours free. Just send me a message, a DM on Instagram. In it, I basically implement how to create your own plan and how I did mine. And what was really cool is the guy who won the challenge in 2018 found me, used the guide, and set up his own program, and he won. So
wow.
I kind of have this like back-to-back
that's badass,
title
dude.
You know, thing. And did I train him? No.
Yeah,
another guy did, but it was the spark.
Validate
it was the spark that got him going. And that's what I want to be is like...
Just a spark.
Man, you guys, like... Your potential is unreal, and we're not tapping into it, and the time's going by. So,
That's cool.
If listeners, followers want it, just send me a message.
Yeah.
I like that you struggle with the word life coach because there's so many bad things. I mean, there's so many people that give life coaching such a bad name, but dude, it needs people like you because it is a real thing. And it is, there's some good ones out there too. And we need more good ones because there is some kooks, man.
I don't give a shit who you are. Human struggle is human struggle. We all deal with it, right? The difference is some people can navigate those waters themselves and figure it out and pop out the other side. It's okay, like, to ask for help. It's okay to reach out to somebody that's navigating those waters and is 10 steps ahead of you. Maybe not 100 steps. Maybe you're not worth $100 million. But even if you were... they wouldn't have access to you.
Right.
Right. So luckily you're not worth $100 million. So they do have access to you and you are 10 steps ahead of a lot of people.
We're available right now.
Yeah, exactly.
It won't always be that way. Exactly. I mean, I know a guy who charges $5,000 just to step into his office.
Exactly.
And you're coming off 4 years of counseling, therapy, help, right?
Did it 4 years early straight. I did that from 08 to 2012, four years straight. Yeah. And dude, I'm a totally different person, man. Like totally reprogrammed my whole mind. Still got struggles. I want to be better.
Yeah.
But dude, the person I was then versus
you
now,
have tools now and you have experience that you can lean on.
Right.
When the stuff does show up, it's like, oh, I got this.
How to handle just, it. Some people don't know just, how to handle it.
What if your mom doesn't get along with your wife?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? I'm in that boat. That's why I've had to figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
You know, and you take all these circumstances. What if you hate your job? What if you hate yourself? Like, there are so many things.
So would you advise people, even if it's not necessarily a pure fitness goal, if they just have certain goals that they're trying to reach just in general and they kind of want somebody to kind of, as a soundboard, just kind of bounce some things off, reach out to you and you know, vibe it out and see if there's some synergy there.
Absolutely. And I do offer a free strategy call.
Cool.
It's usually about an hour. It usually goes 2 hours.
You want to pick your clients too, probably. You know?
I'm a yes man right now. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I'm a yes man. Hey,
eventually it won't be.
This is my program.
Yeah.
And then they say no. And I say, well, what do you want?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm here for you. Like, progress is progress for me and you. We're helping each other. And, you know, that really resonates with me is, dude, I've been
in the trenches.
I've been in the trenches.
Yeah. Further than that. Yeah. So let me ask you this real quick before we kind of wrap up. Just, I mean, you have a lot of life experiences. You've been through some struggles. You've had some wins in your life. You know, what young or old, you know, there's a lot of people that are out there struggling now that are in the struggle, that are in the trenches, right? What would be your advice to your younger self, let's say 5 years ago, that you think that would be valuable for a lot of people to hear, right? Like, Glenn, you need to focus here. You need to be doing this. This is the way out. Like, what would be your advice 5 years ago to your younger self that may resonate with a lot of people right now?
I mean, I would go back to my early 20s even, and I would say stop resisting and avoiding and just face stuff. I would hire mentors and experts a lot sooner.
Oh, yeah.
Amen to that. I would cut myself some slack and say, man, you got time. You know,
be patient.
Be patient and be willing to experience it. Another big one for me is trying to people please and fit in the box that I think other people have for me. And maybe they don't. And I just think they do. And maybe they do have that box and you got to break through it. So college is a big one for me.
Oh, yeah.
If I could go back, I wouldn't change anything now, but would I take that money elsewhere? Absolutely. I just didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a girl break up with me because, hey, what do you want to do with your, I don't know, have fun. Snowboard.
Yeah. She's ready to figure out.
Yeah. Got her I'm shit sure together. Her dad's like, yo, you're hanging out with a Lovelace kid. He's a good guy, but his future
he's nice
doesn't,
and all,
his future doesn't look so bright.
He's 20. You know?
Oh man,
that's funny.
So yeah, like I would, if I'm going to spend money on college now, I know exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I just have a hard time.
Don't go into college without a sure path of what you don't do it for somebody else. And if you don't know what you want to do,
go into sales.
You can go into sales, but you know, money well spent would probably be more self development rather than educational development.
Right, right.
Would you agree?
Absolutely.
With that?
I mean, I have friends with $50,000 to $100,000 in debt from school.
Yeah.
They're not using their degree or not fully. And now they're working two or three jobs like I was to dig their way out just to get by. And of course, you want to provide your wife, kids, yourself with experiences along the way. So you got to still live. So now you're going into more debt to live.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if a doctorate in sociology is going to help you be a social worker.
I don't know. An art degree can get really, I mean.
Maybe you'll meet your wife there.
Yeah. That's really the only upside. Hey, you can party a lot in college.
It's 10 to 1. Yeah, it's 10 to 1.
You're rolling the dice on that one, but
no, I mean, do what really makes you feel good.
Yeah.
I think you got to have values still. You know, I'm a firm believer in God. Wherever he fits in your life, I you know, you got to develop that relationship and that connection. And if you believe in God or you don't, I guess, you know, we're all on our own little
journey
here. Yeah. But what if he does guide your life when it's crucial? I can look at maybe two or three times where it was crucial that he was there, and the rest, it's all up to me. Glenn gets to choose what he wants to do. And I'll end there with, I was 8 or 9 years into this 3-year job journey and all the mess I've already told you about. And I was so frustrated, like, where are you, God? Like, I've got kids and a wife. And
well, if he pulls you out of struggle, then where's the growth?
No, I realize that now.
Yeah.
But at least give me a crumb to chase. But I was so stuck in not choosing.
Yeah.
Finally, I got an answer. It said, Glenn, not choosing is a choice.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, I can live with that. So I lived with it for 6 to 12 months. I'm like, hey, it's okay. I'm choosing to be right where I'm at.
Yeah.
And I'm totally okay with that. When I'm ready to do 75 hard, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Or I'll do whatever I want to do. And now my prayer is, God, like, you need me to be somewhere, I'll be there.
Yeah.
But you got to tell me, because I'm not going to pray about what shoes to buy.
Yeah, you'll be the vehicle for whatever needs to.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's...
Absolutely.
Surrendering yourself to be the vehicle for whatever.
And that just takes practice.
Yeah.
Just like anything else. How do I feel when I do this? I feel pretty good. I think I made the right choice. I'm going to do more of it.
Yeah.
So.
Cool, man. Dude, we appreciate you stopping in at the office, dude, on your way to California. So you've got the family trip planned, the beach time, all that stuff, or what?
It's just Amber and I. She.
Oh, cool.
About a year ago, she enrolled in a life coach school program.
Oh.
And there's a little meetup there. I don't know.
So this is where the sixth kid's going to happen, since it's just
that would be an impossibility.
Wow time without five kids around?
That would be an impossibility, but maybe Hawaii in September, October.
There you go.
I appreciate you coming on too, dude. I resonate with you so much, bro. And like, Trev has been talking to me about you, but I didn't actually start following you till just like last week. So this has been such it's been such a pleasure to get to know you more. And
well, he was taking shit earlier, and he's like, "Hey, Glenn gonna be here? What's his story?" And I'm like, "Dude, we're gonna about find out here real quick." I said, "I don't know." I said, "But everybody's gonna figure it out with
and
us."
And everybody listening should create their own story. Like, I am a huge proponent on who do you want to be, and I'll go out and do it. And it's so empowering to live that way. But I appreciate you guys too. It's nice to know there's guys out there like me who are willing and able. I mean, I've got some guys I follow and associate with that have millions of followers, and it's not possible to respond to hundreds or thousands of messages. So I get it.
Yeah.
So for you listening, take advantage of guys like that you're listening to right now that are willing to give you a little bit of time. Because I don't think it'll always be that way for you guys.
I told people that, you know, when we had like 3,000 to 5,000, I said, listen, I said, I'm answering every direct message. I'm doing what I can. And I said, I have a feeling that this, I won't be able to do this for much longer. So if you guys do have questions, reach out, you know, and so.
Come join, like, let's do this together.
Yeah. Right. So,
love it.
Cool, brother. We appreciate you coming in. And guys, if you enjoyed the episode, make sure you share with a, you know, friend, family member, even people that you hate. Share it with them so that...
Especially if you hate them.
Yeah, exactly. Be the bigger person and share with everybody. Make sure that you rate, review this podcast as well. We've got a lot of... what do we have? 19 reviews now? Is that what it was? Something like that. All 5 stars. So we appreciate that. But keep them coming, guys. Thanks for listening.